WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden in the White House Rose Garden on the day after the election.
Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Donald Trump has been meeting with advisors in West Palm Beach, discussing who he wants in his new cabinet. Federal Reserve officials poised to reduce a key interest rate for a second straight time this afternoon, the amount expected to be a quarter percentage point. Closing arguments today in the murder trial of Richard Allen, accused of killing two young teenage girls in Delphi, Indiana, 7 years ago. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree has been cut down and will arrive in New York soon. The giant Norway spruce from West Stockbridge, Massachusetts, was hoisted onto a flatbed truck by crane. This morning, it will eventually be decorated with 50,000 multicolored lights. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Despite a few hiccups, like needing to recount 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Election Commission says Tuesday's election was safe and secure with no major issues reported. On Wednesday, WEC officials reminded residents that the election is technically not over, as the official results still need to be verified and certified through the canvassing process. The numbers residents see now are unofficial results with votes that have been counted but not verified and certified. The deadline for the chairperson to certify the election is December 1st. Tuesday's election saw the highest number of voters in Wisconsin state history. According to the unofficial results, about 3.4 million people cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential race. That's equivalent to about 72.6% of eligible voters in the state, which is also one of the highest voter participation rates in state history. About 30,000 fewer people voted in the Senate race between Senator Tammy Baldwin, who won re-election, and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. The final official numbers will be released on December 1st. Superior residents voted to approve a referendum allowing the school district to exceed its revenue limits for the next 5 years. The referendum asked Superior residents to pay extra in property taxes for the next 5 years to prevent the district from having to make further cuts. The district has been forced to permanently close the school and lay off over 50 staff members in the last year due to their budget issues. The referendum approves a sliding scale of increases, starting at $2.5 million for the next 2 years and $5.5 million in the final year. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they say was involved in two violent home invasions in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the first incident happened on Monday in the Chester Park neighborhood. The second happened on Tuesday in the Congdon neighborhood, just a few miles away. Authorities say they don't have many details about the suspect except that he is a white man. Duluth Police Chief Mike Sanoa says three people were sent to the hospital with minor injuries after the suspect entered their homes. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Smith says he wanted to be traded. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 5.5 seasons, linebacker Preston Smith was traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Smith telling reporters in Pittsburgh he requested to be traded after Green Bay changed their defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
It's just what I've been playing in the last 9 years of my career. Into this past season, this is what I was comfortable playing in and what I got used to playing in. So, you know, just being back in the system, it's like, riding that your favorite bike again.
College basketball tonight, the Badgers host the Montana State Bobcats at the Kohl Center. NBA tonight, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton, recovering from surgery on both ankles, still not ready to play.
You know, everybody's different. You know, trying to think of someone. LeBron. I saw LeBron's ankle hit the floor, and he kept playing. Well, everybody's different. And Chris has had a lot of injuries and surgical stuff, so it's just not as fast as we thought it would be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A happy high-pressure system settles in here today, bringing more and more sunshine alongside some breezy winds, keeping our highs today to the mid-40s. We stay breezy tonight, falling below freezing, and for tomorrow, we take a nice warm climb into the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who we'll talk movies with, and he'll help make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:20, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be here to update us on the forecast. Beautiful day right now. If you have the chance to get outside, go take a breath, go touch some grass.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that with Brittany Merlot later.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it really is a lovely day. And then at 11:33, Joseph Pecky, political consultant, will be here to wrap up the final half hour with more takeaways from the results of the Tuesday election. So we switched things around a little bit this morning. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan joining us now to talk all things sports balls. Where should we start, Paul? You want us? Because it seems like no matter what direction I look at, it's kind of painful.
Yeah. If ever we've needed a football game, this would be the weekend, but we do not have one. The Packers are both on a bye and also just lost to, you know, one of their bigger division rivals in the Detroit Lions and didn't play particularly well in doing so. That's probably as good a place to start as any. They lost because they're sloppy, and they've been sloppy all season. The Packers have looked like a talented team many, many times. Their underlying advanced stats are quite good, but they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. They commit a ton of penalties. They're sixth in the league in penalties called against them. Jordan Love keeps throwing at least one completely boneheaded interception a game. He threw one this last weekend. He almost threw two. He was very close to having another one down near the end zone. And the receivers just can't keep hold on to the ball. They keep they drop a ton. Dontavian Wicks is the worst defender, but even Jaden Reed, who is their best receiver this year, is dropping one out of every six of his targets. Hit him in the hands and it goes down. So they're also quite injured, but they need to clean these things up if they're going to actually contend with a team like the Lions, who dropped no passes and committed half as many penalties and you know, just generally speaking, played a very crisp game in the rain, whereas the Packers were falling all over themselves. So good time for the bye, but man, it was rough.
I've seen some complaints about the special teams coach and how much money he's making and how terrible our special teams are.
So that's all fair. Rich Bisaccia is their special teams coach, and he is one of the he might be the highest paid special teams coach. I don't know if anybody's passed him recently, but he has a great reputation as a special teams coordinator. He has often coordinated the best special teams in the league, but they really seem to have a problem getting it together on the Packers. I will say I think they're a little better this year, and Detroit's, by the way, their special teams is excellent. Part of the problem with the Packers is injuries have pushed a lot of special teams players into starting roles while Bisaccia has been here. And he's not the one who signed. Well, he's technically not the one who signs field goal kickers. He is the one who is probably responsible for getting Anders Carlson, who has been long disposed of. But I do think they've improved. Daniel Whelan's a great punter. I think that was a out of the park hit there. But yeah, Rich has probably paid a little too much for the production they're getting. It's not great. By and large, though, I do think that they are a team that is creative to a fault and do need to crack the whip a little bit more on just execution things. They're really, the contrast with the Lions was really, really stark, where the Lions were just, everybody was lined up every single time. Nobody moved early, like at all in any snaps. And the Packers they also had some offensive line issues. Josh Myers missed this game. Elton Jenkins was playing center for the first time starting in a while and had a few bad snaps in the rain. It messes with chemistry. But they need to get better at doing the little things correctly going forward. It's their one big weakness. They've been pretty good at everything else. They could use a little bit of help at edge rusher, but other than everybody's got a problem. Other than that, it's just beating themselves. If they stop beating themselves, they'll beat pretty much everybody else. So they need to really whip themselves into shape over the bye week and do a lot of technical work and use the time they have not game planning to actually fix some of these issues.
I was about to ask him a question. He answered it right there. So I'm good to go. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Well, it just feels like they're making a lot of rookie mistakes and they're not playing like a team.
To some extent, that's expected. They're very, very young.
Yeah.
But this is also the kind of thing that Matt LaFleur is in charge of overall strategy. Their position coaches are the ones that are supposed to be drilling execution during practice and then need to be doing a better job of that. Well, and young players, sure, they're not experienced, but the fundamentals are one of the things that's really emphasized in college. Yes, they're not on the same page. They're young, but these are I would say more lazy veteran mistakes than they are young rookie mistakes. The drops is a different thing. Like Dontavian Wicks has had problems with drops off and on his entire career, including in college. That's something that they need to drill into him a little bit more. But like the illegal motion stuff and the jumping early stuff, like that's stuff that everybody should be good at, even when you just entered the league. That's the easiest single thing to clean up here.
Well, I think something that's looking at the team this year, everyone wrote them off last season because they were so new and Jordan Love was not untested, but not a starter game day player at that point. So I feel like all the things that they're doing this season is what people expected of them last season to get themselves together. And then on this season, those problems would have been worked out, but they got so good so fast and just blew everyone away that I feel like maybe this season is where they're going to be making those mistakes to tie them up and go for a better second half of 2024, or we're looking at next season just for a sharper, tighter team.
Yeah, entirely possible. And some of this is probably expected. And they probably got a little lucky last year with, people getting it together very quickly. And some regression was probably expected. But the one thing I think that will help, no matter what, is health. Like, if they get their normal starters back, that will clean up some of this. And more than anything, if Jordan Love can actually take these 2 weeks to get himself a little healthier, so he's made bad decisions for sure, but his throws have also been sailing on him. His lower body is definitely not all there. That groin injury, I'm not sure how smart it was to start him last week, honestly.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought that it would have been a good spot to give Malik Willis one more shot. Just take another week, going into the bye to get Love actually healthy, especially given that it was, always projected to rain on Sunday. It was likely going to be like a run heavy game no matter what. It's personally what I would have done. I know that doesn't really happen in the NFL. If guys are cleared to play, they play. But he can't throw as well as normal. Like, it's actually impacting his ability to make throws. They're fluttering on him. He can't power it in there like he normally can. And that saves him sometimes on his bad decisions. Sometimes he can gun it in there like Brett Favre used to, like just rifle the head.
Right.
Sometimes it gets through. It's a problem. And until he's physically right, he's going to keep probably making mistakes like this. He leads the NFL in interceptions with 10, even though he's played two fewer games than everybody else has. And it's worth noting that while Jordan Love has definitely had his highs, that he did lead college football in interceptions his final year. It's not like this is unprecedented for him. He was great last year, but this is a thing that has affected him for as long as he's been playing high-level football.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is our guest. He's with the Acme Packing Company, and we're talking all things sports. Let's turn our attention to the Brewers, Paul.
Yep, the offseason for baseball is in high gear with the World Series being over. The Brewers are making decisions on who to tender, who to pick up options on, and who to send to arbitration. They declined, first of all, most importantly, they declined Devin Williams' option and are going to argue with him. They think they can save about $2 million by doing so. This will, however, tick Devin Williams off again.
Oh, great. Nothing better than a Brewers Devin Williams fight for the season.
Well, I think, and a lot of pundits think this too, that it's almost a sure thing that Devin Williams is traded after this happens. Honestly, everybody's a professional, but ticking off Devin Williams and then planning on playing Devin Williams is just not a good idea. You don't want to do that. And so they're getting to the point where he's going to get too expensive for the Brewers anyway. And I think that they're almost certainly going to move on from him shortly. The one thing the Brewers are outstanding at is creating pitchers who throw great for an inning and a half. And so,
oh boy.
Yeah. And so it's not like we don't have replacements ready to go for Devin Williams. There are a lot of them already on the team. They'll have Jacob Mizrowski and Craig Yoho probably on the team next year from AAA or AA. I think maybe one of them was still at. But they've moved on from him. Colin Ray was also waived. They did not pick up his $5.5 million option. Kind of surprising. I feel like that's actually pretty much under market for a guy like Colin Ray, who's not a great pitcher, but is a good innings eater that, frankly, the Brewers were kind of running out of towards the end of the year. But he is free to seek other options. They did not pick up Frankie Montez's much, much larger option. That was much less.
Was it 21 million?
It was 21 million. Yes, he got that when he was better. And to his credit, he really did kind of turn himself around with us, but he's not worth that much money. That is correct. Yeah. They also did not exercise Gary Sanchez's option. I think there's a puncher's chance he's back at a lower deal, but probably not. I think they're pretty happy with Eric Costa's backup catcher, and they'll probably go something along the lines of that route. If it's not Haas, it'll be somebody like him. So the Brewers haven't added anybody, but they're moving on from quite a few so far. And all of them make sense, but they're kind of a cheap team. And it's sad when they move on from talented people like Devin Williams.
In the about minute and a half we have left, what is going on with our Bucks? It's painful.
It's painful. Last time I was here, they'd won a game and looked good doing it. They haven't done anything like that since. The Bucks to me look like a team of players who don't believe that they can actually come together and win games, and so have decided to all go and get their own in every game, get their own individual stats, get their own individual numbers, and not play together as a team. They're a mess. I mean, the Bucks are an old team, and sometimes this is what happens with old teams. They're not deep. Injuries derail them immediately. Chris Middleton is not back, and a lot of speculation that he's not going to be back for a while. Still, ankles are not good injuries to have. And they've traded so much for depth to have stars that they lack depth. I think this might just be the long downward spiral for an old team that is now well past its prime.
Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. On that happy note, we were going to move on. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
Stay close. Brittany Merlot, Weather and Wine on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Scott.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. She joins us Thursdays, usually at this time, sometimes not at this time. She's very flexible. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's time for a little weather and wine. Good morning, Brittany. It is a beautiful day here in Racine. What is it like? You're in Wausau. What's it like there?
Oh, just as beautiful. Honestly, it's so nice to finally see the sun shining. I don't know about you, but I needed that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's helping my mood. And it's funny because I've always called a high pressure system a happy high pressure system to try to get people to remember that's associated with sunshine. And I'm just so happy.
How long are we going to have this? Because again, we're still way above normal temperatures, aren't we?
We sure are, at about anywhere from 5 to 15 degrees above normal, depending where you are exactly. And we're going to get warmer tomorrow. We're going to be pushing temperatures near 60 for a lot of us. So, you know, it'll be nice. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Because I am looking at the extended outlook. And while we're looking at our weather apps, it looks pretty consistent, right?
Right.
But not for long. I'm telling you, as soon as about the 15th, 16th kind of time frame, we are looking at a shot of cold pushing in, and it kind of stays that way. The jet stream shifts, and we could be seeing snow patterns pushing in instead of rain patterns.
My husband looked at me last weekend, and he said, is the grass ever going to stop growing? Can I stop mowing the lawn? Because he's still mowing it on a weekly basis because it's been so mild.
Yeah, no, I get it. I kind of like the smell of fresh grass, but I've had it too.
Like, I'm done. Can you stop it?
I've become that guy in the neighborhood. I stopped mowing a little while ago and everyone else is still mowing. And I'm like, you guys just wait for the snow to cover it up and see you next. No, I'm mowing it probably this weekend.
You're probably going to have to this weekend.
It's gotten out of control. But you, Brittany, you said happy high pressure system and how the sun is really like helping. You were talking to us about earlier, mental health and how the weather can help you and how this can, you know, especially right now, picking spirits up. You wanted to discuss that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got the election anxiety and then we've got our shorter days, right? We did the whole time change this weekend as well. And we're all trying to adjust to that. And I just wanted to really point out and stress, try to wake up earlier, try to get up with that sunrise, get outside, take a walk, whether it be before work, on your lunch, maybe afterwards, anytime that you can. If the sun is out, please try to soak it up because, you know, that vitamin D obviously helps you, the sun on your skin, the fresh breeze, the fresh air, and it just clears your mind, I think. So I just really want people to remember that we're battling a few things right now and we're all in this together. You know, seasonal affective disorder, that's a thing. Depression becomes a thing with the longer nights, the more darkness. I mean, we're getting off of work and it's dark.
Yeah.
That's hard to deal with sometimes. So really for your lunch, go outside, enjoy the sunshine while it's out here, because not every weekend's going to be bright and beautiful. Like this weekend, we have more rain rolling in, which means more clouds when we're off of work. So
naturally, we get the beautiful weather during the week, and then the weekends are
bah. Yep. Yep. But we still,
it's a technical term. Rain.
Yeah, that's a meteorological term.
Yes, it is.
Words are tricky. I had this problem yesterday. Wording effectively.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm thinking about all those days we get out of here and it's a rainy day. You're like, I'm just going to go home and take a nap. And now you're going to be like, I'm probably going to go for a walk today. That's a really good idea, because you're right. Very heavy week. Very, very heavy. Going through a lot of things together. As you said, we're going through it together, but even a 10, 15 minute walk, got a pet, take him for a walk.
Take him for a walk.
A dog. Maybe don't take your turtle for a walk, but yeah, I'm probably going to take my dog for a nice long walk today.
Well, and I think it's important too. And I know people like to listen to podcasts and things if they go outside and they walk and everything. And I get that. But I also think it's important to be in the place, to be in the moment and mm-hmm. listen to the birds
yeah.
and listen to the whatever is going on in your neighborhood. Or I just think sometimes it's really important to unplug from everything and just be.
Yes.
I agree. And you know what? It's a commonality that we can all talk about. The weather, right? It's been a thing forever. So get out there, see what's going on, talk about that. You know what I mean? And there's also, if you're a weather nerd like me, I know Jane, you are, right?
I am.
I like the
weather.
Do
you know what Coco Roz is?
What?
Coco Roz.
Coco Roz?
Sounds like food, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like something a resident young person would say. Like, that's so Coco Roz.
Coco Roz.
It is now.
I like it. Yeah, right? Hashtag Coco Roz.
Right.
It's a community collaborative rain, hail, and snow network. So if you're looking for something to do to take your mind off stuff, you can actually help us meteorologists and scientists. All you do is put a rain gauge outside and every single morning record it. It goes into our stats and our data.
Oh, I love that.
I get to see it. And this is how I tell you guys how much rain Wisconsin got. So you can be a part of it and help out and just, I don't know, do something else.
Channel some energy. Channel a little energy. So how do they do this again, Brittany?
Oh, you just hop online, COCORAHS. It'll come up. You real quick registration form. You could actually order a rain gauge right on there. You're registered, put it outside, start taking measurements. You're good to go.
That sounds so Coco Roz.
It's yeah. Coco Roz, baby. It's a Coco Roz kind of moment, you know?
We're having it.
And we need it. We need them.
We do need them. Yeah. It's important to still laugh.
Yes.
It is important to still find moments of joy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. May have lost the battle. Doesn't mean the war is over.
Not at all.
Nope.
The fight continues. And we'll get through it together.
Of course.
Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a neighbor. You're not alone in this.
That's something Tanya Atkinson talked about before, is I think if you reach out to a friend and ask them how they're doing, they're going to ask you how you're doing. And you take that moment to connect, even if it's for a text or two or a phone call.
Yep.
It makes you feel better.
Absolutely. Look for the helpers.
Yep.
We're all helpers right now. We can all be helpers right now. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist. She joins us every week for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you next week. And go Coco Roz, baby.
Yeah.
News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has officially won a third term in Washington. Senator Baldwin declared victory early Wednesday, while results showed she had a lead of less than 1%, which could lead to a recount. After the race was called by the Associated Press, Republican challenger Eric Hovde did not concede or say if he would be requesting a recount within the 1% margin. In narrowly winning re-election, Senator Baldwin kept a critical Senate seat for Democrats, while former President Trump won the state. Wisconsin residents voted to pass a constitutional amendment stating that only United States citizens can vote in elections. The amendment slightly changes the language used in current law, making it only a United States citizen instead of every United States citizen. Republicans across the country have pushed similar measures to prevent non-citizens from voting, which is already illegal. A handful of municipalities across the country allow non-citizens to vote in some local elections, like a school board. None are in Wisconsin. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. The city of Ashland will finally receive state funding for a boat launch project after applying for the program multiple times. After the city and other municipalities' applications were rejected for the program, Governor Tony Evers sued lawmakers to force the release of the funding. When the state Supreme Court ruled efforts to block the conservation projects were unconstitutional, Ashland applied again and received about $1 million from the Department of Natural Resources to construct an ADA-compliant deep-water boat launch at Crerar Park. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. According to Yahoo News, Michael Jackson got into a fight with Tupac Shakur when he came to the defense of Khadijah Jones, daughter of recently deceased music icon Quincy Jones. Sources say Jackson was present when Tupac, who was dating Khadijah, called her the B-word. Jackson, who was like an uncle to Khadijah, had words with Tupac, then the two squared off, and supposedly Jackson got the better of him. It's unclear whether or not it was a dance-off. During an interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast, beloved actor Tom Hanks dropped one of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV. Hanks used the fifth word in the seven-word sequence, well worth a Google, when referring to a critic who panned his new film, Here. Hanks added that the same critic panned his directorial debut years ago, That Thing You Do, and just a few months ago called it a cult classic. Hanks did have a lighthearted tone when he dropped the CS bomb to Conan and said, that's what we signed up for. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A happy high-pressure system settles in here today, bringing more and more sunshine alongside some breezy winds, keeping our highs today to the mid-40s. We stay breezy tonight, falling below freezing, and for tomorrow, we take a nice warm climb into the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue to analyze the election that was and look ahead to the weekend to get our minds off of things. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are excited that Joe Zepecki could make some time for us. I know you have a lot going on. Joe Zepecki, political consultant and friend of the show. Tuesday was not the day that we hoped.
No, it was not. But we fight on.
We fight on. Absolutely. I thought Kamala Harris gave a beautiful and gracious concession speech yesterday. And we did start off the show with that. And I think it behooves all of us to listen to it and take her message to heart.
Yeah. I understand that lots of people are feeling lots of ways this week, and I'm one of them.
And you need to, and it's okay to feel. It's okay to feel those feelings.
And absolutely. And if you're able to, and you're in a moment when you're not feeling those feels, check in on your people. Be there for whatever your community is, whatever your found family, in addition to your actual family, is. That's what we have to do to one another. And I can think of no better way to honor what Jonathan Brostoff did for a large community than to make sure that we're all doing that. And I am by nature an optimist, and I want to bring a little sunshine. We can hold competing thoughts in our heads at the same time. We can be very concerned, gravely concerned, about what's going to happen in our national politics and what happens when Donald Trump walks back into the White House, while also celebrating the fact that Tammy Baldwin is going back to the United States Senate. Wisconsin Democrats swept the competitive state Senate seats and picked up a lot of seats in the state assembly, which creates a clear path to state power after the 2026 elections. And those are all good, positive developments. And they tell me that campaigns matter, and what the left has built in Wisconsin matters. You know, just as a brief detour, I'm seeing some people say campaigns don't matter. Malarkey. When you look at what happened in Illinois and New Jersey and, you know, New York, and places where there was not a statewide campaign, where there is not infrastructure like we have here in Wisconsin, those states' votes moved a hell of a lot more than Wisconsin's did at the presidential level, which was a total swing of 60,000 votes, right? I mean, Trump lost you by 30,000 votes 4 years ago. He won by 30,000 votes this time. And all of those Democratic victories I just told you, and the fact that we were able to hold that margin close, tells me that we have built something pretty special here in Wisconsin. And so I'm not here for blow it up, tear it down, start all over again, when there's not any evidence I've seen that that's what needs to happen. And we can hold that thought in our head while also holding in our head that we always need to be learning and assessing what happened and why it happened and trying to get more information. That is how high-functioning organizations work, whether they're selling pretzels or running statewide campaigns. And that's what we're going to do. But I hope that even those who are really feeling it and in it this week, who have been part of these fights, understand and recognize that we have a lot of opportunity ahead of us. And as the vice president said yesterday, times like these are, in fact, a time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And if you can't get there this week and you can't get there next week, then we'll see you in December.
Yes.
Right. But we've got important stuff coming up very, very soon. And we've got, you know, to be ready for the fights to come. And that's where I'm at this week. And I've not been able to listen much, but I hope that you guys are in similar places. And if not, talk to me and I'll get you to a better place. That's what we're here to do, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think we just had Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on, and I completely agree with you. Take the time you need to process and move forward. But remember this, the effects are happening immediately. They're making their moves. So we got to make our moves, and we got to be prepared. And I completely agree with you. Malarkey. Campaigns should not be done away with. I've seen the beauty of energetic campaigns, and the joy and the excitement they bring. And in a place like Wisconsin, Joe, you are absolutely right, built to campaign. And yeah. I don't see an alternative. Okay, you want to tear down campaigns? Give me three viable options. I'll listen to you. None of them will be as good. Thank you. Goodbye.
I just think people would like to see campaigns not go on for so long.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's one of the questions that we do need to wrestle with, right? Is like, on the one hand, in 107 days, Kamala Harris was able to do something extraordinary in terms of raising that amount of money, making that that level of investment, hitting all of the marks, doing all of the blocking and tackling basic campaign stuff that we've come to sort of know, understand, and appreciate if you're in my line of work for a very long time. And she did almost all of them flawlessly, right? Yeah. And at the same time, does that mean that a shorter campaign is better? I don't know. There are some global political forces at play here that we should inject into the conversation, which is that over the course of the last year, around the world, every single incumbent political party has been thrown out on their keister.
Yes.
And when you actually look at the performance of the Democratic Party in America, second best performance in spite of that. Now, is that all because of Kamala Harris? Probably not. Is it all because of how uniquely awful Donald Trump is? Probably not. It's probably a little bit of both, right? Little column A, little column B. Little column C, that Democrats and Joe Biden were able to get a lot of stuff done in, 4 years, from bipartisan wins on the CHIPS Act to revitalize American technology manufacturing, and the first gun safety legislation in 30 years. Like, those are all things that voters tell us all the time.
Yes.
That they want.
Yes.
Right? Is for the parties to work together and do stuff like infrastructure and to lower the cost of prescription drugs. Republicans didn't want to work with us on that one, and so Democrats got it done anyways. And so in spite of all of those individual policy things that happened, the global headwinds were just too much. And that's okay. And again, it doesn't mean all is lost, and it doesn't mean that all is fine either. This is a dynamic environment, and we have to continually learn, grow, and adapt to that. I think I saw somewhere like 11 of the last 13 election cycles, so every 2 years, like the last 26 years, the American people have seemed to suggest they're looking for change. That's a pretty tumultuous, turbulent time to be alive.
Most definitely. Before we got on the air, Greg and I were talking about that, too. When Donald Trump was first elected in 2016, in the midterms, 2 years later, that's when the Democrats took the House.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest that people look...
And the Senate.
And the Senate, right. And so I would suggest that people look forward to the next fight in 2 years. Because, again, this is going to continue. Our election season, our elections will continue. Life will continue. The sun is going to rise. And it's a matter of what we do with this energy and what we do with our anxiety to put it into action. Don't give up the fight.
Amen.
But as you said too, Joe, folks need to take as long as they need. If 3 days isn't enough, if the weekend isn't long enough, if you need a week or 2 weeks or a month to just check out and get reoriented, then do that. Mm-hmm. You should do that, and you shouldn't feel badly about it.
I'm not going to feel bad about it when I take my wife on a vacation next week.
As you should.
Week after that.
Yeah.
And the one, okay, I'm scrambling for bright spots here, but I will say this. This made me laugh. Robin Voss, of course, Speaker of the Assembly, Speaker Robin
and
Voss.
And Popcorn King.
And Popcorn King. Talking about their wins on Tuesday. In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss says, "So we have won under every scenario possible. Democrats have only made gains when they have gerrymandered districts." That made me spit coffee out of my nose. It was just like, Robin's going to whine now about gerrymandering? That is just priceless.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think one of the stories of Tuesday is when you have fairer maps, you have better outcomes, right? Which is more competitive races, and some of them fall one way and some of them fall the other way. And that's the way it should be, right? Like, a narrow statewide Republican win should not mean that they get 64 seats in the assembly. And Robin Voss can be really sad that that's his reality. I actually should go back and look, or somebody should, that when you look at the difference between 2016, when Trump narrowly won, and what Republicans got in the assembly that year, as opposed to 2024 under the new fairer maps. But I'm guessing you're going to see quite a difference. Mm. And that's how it should be, right? Like if you get a Tammy Baldwin or Barack Obama 2008 level wipeout statewide, that can carry a lot of legislative races with you. And when these races are decided by a point or less, which is where it looks like, you know, I mean, Trump's not even at 50 in the state, right? It's like 49 and change to 48 and change.
Right.
That shouldn't, that is not an overwhelming mandate, supermajority generating like statewide vote. It's just not. We lived in divided times on Monday, and we're living in divided times today. And now the state legislature comes a little bit closer to reflecting that.
Tammy Baldwin made her acceptance speech. Has Eric Hovde conceded yet?
I don't think so.
Is he waiting for his, goodbye Kringle?
I mean, Donald Trump still hasn't conceded the 2020 election, and Kamala Harris called him yesterday, and Joe Biden called him yesterday. So, I wish this was a time and a place where Republicans had a little more grace, but they don't. And I the other part of thing I haven't shared that I want to just point out to folks is this was not a foregone conclusion. And the reason I know that is I read Tim Alberta's piece in the Atlantic over the weekend, demonstrating how clearly the knives were out inside the Trump campaign and how distraught they were, convinced that their candidate had cost them the election, despite the best efforts of the campaign. And when you look at the Tuesday afternoon stuff from Donald Trump alleging fraud in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
They were nervous as hell. They had no doubt. They had no certainty that they were going to win at all, much less that it was going to be clear enough by, Wednesday morning as it was. And so there aren't a lot of certainties. The Republicans can, they can claim their flowers and, boast and whine like Robin Voss if they want. That's fine. They won this time. They get to do that. But I would just caution my friends on that side, don't overread it, because things change.
Well, and one of the things I've been looking at is the numbers purely on the votes itself. And speaking on the terms of it's not really a mandate, he has not even reached the number of votes this year that he got in 2020. So I don't know if you want to call it fatigue. I mean, this is no disrespect to those we've lost. Some of those supporters are gone now, whether it be COVID, age, or whatever. But it isn't an overwhelming nationwide send them to the White House 1984 Reagan mandate. It's an election. We had an election. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go, which means we have to fight harder in 2 and 4 years. But yeah, we have to have that clear in our brains. He's not the shining king they all think that he likes to think he is.
Well, and again, go ahead, Joe.
I was just saying, let me see if I can squeeze in a funny story here before the break that my Republican friends should remember, which is that after the 2008 elections in Wisconsin, where Donald Trump won where Barack Obama won and carried Democrats to majorities in the assembly and the legislature, the Wisconsin State Journal had a front page, full page story the next day. Is Wisconsin forever blue? Was the question with a big map of the state, and it was overwhelmingly blue.
Yep.
And the fallacy of that, of course, is 2 years later, Democrats wiped out and we haven't been in control since. So careful counting your chickens before they hatch, my Republican friends.
Joe Zopecki is here. We're going to wrap things up with him right after this very brief interlude. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down to get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Joe Zepecki is here, political consultant. Joe, I wanted to share this text we got from Mike in Green Bay listening on WGBW. I want to thank you for your post-election shows. It's helping a lot of people, including myself. Thank you, Mike. We're trying. One quick question. I work a ton of hours. I figured out last night that without overtime, my income will be around 40% less. My family can't survive if that's going to happen. Are they truly thinking about not requiring employers to pay overtime? That is a part of Project 2025, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, there is a lot in there that could be very, very bad for a lot of people. And Donald Trump may not be a conventional politician who can be moved. There's a lot of reason to believe that he's somebody who just listens to the last person who talked to him. And that makes it a very difficult environment in which to organize. However, Ron Johnson is more conventional than Donald Trump is. Tony Weed and Scott Fitzgerald and Brian Stile and even Derek Van Orden are all more conventional than Donald Trump is. And so what we have to make sure we're ready to go for and to engage on are these potential fights. So that if there are parts, like there are parts of Project 2025 that Donald Trump will be able to do and try to do by executive order. I don't believe that outlawing overtime pay is one of those things. And so you need to talk to your members of Congress, whether you voted for them or not. You need to, you know, advocate for the things that you believe in. And I believe that we are still in a place where that is going to make a difference. I share people's concerns that we have moved at least a step or two away from a representative, you know, democracy, a constitutional republic, if the worst version of Donald Trump inhabits the Oval Office. That is more in play than any of us really want to admit. But these things are not these transitions away from constitutional republic, you know, representative democracies are never the flip of a switch. It's never gone one day, you know, here one day, gone the next. And so what I would ask everybody to remember and to get ready for is to fight to preserve what we have for as long as we are able, starting with people's economic self-interest. And I don't think for us, like, I think it sounds really good for Republicans to, on their podcasts within the bro hive, to talk about repealing every single thing that Joe got done. But I think for business leaders in this country, there are parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, that make a lot of sense for them, who they are not going to want to see that rolled back. And so that's all to come. And that's why I'm trying to bring the optimism and encourage people to, whenever you're able to, dust yourself off and get back up. That's, you know, the old line from one of the Christopher Nolan Batmans, right? Why do we fall? So we can get back up. And that's what we're going to have to figure out a way to do, folks.
And just as a reminder, that's a great point you bring up, Joe, with regard to the businesses who benefit from the Infrastructure and Inflation Reduction Act. Is we spoke to James Vanderloo 2 weeks ago, and he works with manufacturers, and he said that if these tariffs that Trump has been talking about forever now, if they come into play, he's going to be on the phone with companies from Wisconsin who have businesses outside the country on how to relocate because of these tariffs causing them such distress on their bottom line. So these have definite impacts. And as you were saying, take your time, but we're already starting to see the effects of what's going to happen in a second Trump term.
Well, keep myvote.wi.gov handy, because that has the names and phone numbers of all of your elected representatives. And now that they don't have quite the majority here in Wisconsin that they used to, they might actually have to answer their phones and respond to your phone calls, whether they like it or not. Be nice. We always encourage you to be polite, but call them. Mm-hmm. And again, now they don't have quite the control that they had before. So let's take advantage of our power. Let's do something with it. And I know for us here at Civic Media, and certainly my show, we're going to continue watching these things, telling you the facts as these things happen, and doing our best to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. Yeah. Listen, we got the fairer maps. We picked up seats. That's steps one and two on what was always a three-step plan. Third step is it's got to lead to better governance outcomes. I think there are going to be more Republicans come January in the state legislature in Wisconsin who feel compelled to deal and work with, you know, the Democratic minority and the Democratic governor to try to get to a better place on some things, because they saw what happened to Dewey Strobel, right? Somebody who's been very conservative, has refused to work with Democrats, and he just lost. And so I think there will be, that was always the end goal behind a new map system, is to try to lead to better policy outcomes. Those tend to come when the two sides are more willing to work together. There's been no incentive structure for Republicans to work with Democrats for the last basically 14 years at the legislative level. We appear to have rectified that. Now we just got to see what it means for us going through the state budget on things like Medicaid expansion, etc. But I see real reason for optimism there.
Joe Zepecki, political consultant. Thank you so very, very much, Joe. Take care of yourself. Enjoy your time away and relax. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. News is next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.